The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Mishnah, in the first perek of Masechta Kelim, Mishnah Vov, teaches Arsora Kiddushei Shein. There are 10 levels of Kiddusha, of sanctity given to the world. And they are listed there. It begins with Eretz Yisrael Mikdusha Mikudeshes Mikol Arotzes. Eretz Yisrael is more sanctified than all of the other lands. A little later it states Lifnim Min Hacheme Mikudeshes Mehem, that within the walls of Yerushalayim is more sanctified. And it's Helech Umayna, goes through the 10 levels of Kiddusha until we come to the Mokom HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, until we come to the Heichal. The Heichal was the inner parts of the Mikdosh, until we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim is Kodesh Min HaKol, is the most sanctified. That's the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdosh, that there no one was allowed to go except the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. We find that Eretz Yisrael, and then even more so Yerushalayim, and then even more so the Beis HaMikdosh, were the perfection of the entire world. Shleimus HaOlam, and the Shleimus of Kol HaMailos, the perfection of all of the levels of the world. This is expressed even more so in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, where we exclaim Kama Ma'alis Tovos LaMokom Aleinu, and how many great levels, a Milo is a step, a level, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us to. And it's Heilech Umayna, it counts 15 miles, 15 levels, 15 miles tevis, good levels, beginning with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, Ilo Heitzionu Hashem Mitzrayim Dayeno, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taken us out of Egypt and that's all, it would have been sufficient, until the last 3 miles, V'nosam lano es HaTorah, he gave us the Torah, that's the 13th level mentioned. The 14th level, V'hichnisana l'Eretz Yisrael, he brought us into Eretz Yisrael. And the 15th level, U'banu lano es Beis HaBechira, and he built for us the Beis HaMikdosh l'chaper alav eneseinu, to atone us for our sins. And the morale there, and in Gvuras Hashem, Perek Nuntes, explains that these, the test of milas, the 15 milas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to, is not just to a certain level, but rather these are kol ha-milas, these are all of the levels of the world. And that's why we find also that David HaMelech wrote 15 shirim, 15 songs, each one he called Shir HaMalas, in regards to this. And this is why we find that the Levono, Yoreach, the moon, goes through a period of 15 levels until it reaches Milu'ah, until it reaches its fullness, 15 days, the cycle of the moon. And the reason for this, that we see that this world has 15 levels is because the Torah teaches ki biyud hei Hashem tzur elamim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the two worlds, olam hazeh and olam haba, this world and the next world, biyud hei, with the letters of his name, the yud and the hei. He created the next world, the olam haba, with the yud, and he created this world with the hei. And yud is numerical 10, and hei is 5. See, he created it with his name, with that part of his name, which has a numerical total of 15. And the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, writes there, it is this reason that it took 15 generations to establish the Beis HaMikdash, counting the first generation from Avraham Avinu, because he laid the first foundation, till Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, who built the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash is not merely a level, or it's not merely the greatest level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, but it's the greatest level in the creation. It begins with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, and then when Osan Lono Es HaTorah, he gave us the Torah. And even though there is nothing higher than the Torah, but the Torah cannot find its total fulfillment without Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we hichnisonu le'Eretz Yisrael, it brought us to Eretz Yisrael. But still, that is chosar, it is still lacking. Ubon alonu es ha-beis ha-bachira. He built for us the Beis HaMikdash le'chaper ala v'niseinu. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash, together with Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, Asori Kedusha is saying, there are 10 levels of Kedusha, again, in the entire world, this encompasses the entire world. And the highest level was the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore we see that these milas were the Shleimus HaOlam. They brought completion and totality to the world. And therefore we find they also were the Sheirish, the source of the Bracha Shleima to the world, of total Bracha to the world. And this, Yechazal write this in many places. For example, the Mishnah in Perek Basu, the Seter, the last Perek of Seter, Dav Memches, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash became destroyed, bottle, and they list a whole level of things, many things which vanished, bottle Nefes Sufim. We no longer had Nefes Sufim. That's Mesikus, the sweetness that was found in honey or in other sweet things. It's not there anymore. We know honey is sweet, but other such things, sugar, cane sugar is sweet, but it's not a total sweetness. It's not comparable to the Shleimus that existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Lo yorer hatal lebracha. No longer did the tal, the dew, fall to give a bracha shleima, a total bracha. Nitl tam ha-peres. No longer did fruit have its fullness of taste. Again, we know fruit tastes well, but it was lacking. Shuman haperis, the fullness and the fatness of the fruit, disappeared or became minimized. Shuman hadogon, the fullness and the fatness of the grains, of the wheat and the barley, the other grains disappeared. And the Gemara lists off many such examples. And the reason is because the Beis HaMikdash was the sheirish of the Brocha Shleima, of the fullness of Brocha in the world. Mishachora Beis HaMikdash. And once this was destroyed, this was taken from us. Further we find that the Beis Hamikdash was the power which united Klal Yisrael amongst themselves and united them to Avinu Shebashamayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara brings in Seder Daf Mem Tes, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, great disputes broke out in Klal Yisrael. Govru Balei Zreya uBalei Loshem. Those people who were physically strong started to push their weights around and bully others. And the Balei Loshem and the Balei Loshem Hara, the slanderers, came more to the fore. The Rambam writes, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, on the complex of the Beis HaMikdash, we had our Sanhedrin Agdola, the great court. And at the time of the Sanhedrin Agdola, lay nimtza machlekes b'Yisrael. There could not be a dispute in halacha of Yisrael. All of Yisrael abided to one halacha. There was no such things that one kehillah had one halacha and another had another. Lay nimtza machlekes b'Yisrael. Because where do you get two halachas, two opinions? When you have two opinions, when you have a machlek, it's a dispute. Every dispute had to be brought to the Sanhedrin. It was brought to the lower courts. They would resolve it. If they couldn't, it would go to the higher courts. They would resolve it. If they couldn't, eventually it would come to the Sanhedrin Agdola, the great court. And the great court had to resolve it. And if they could not do it unanimously, then they would take a vote, v'achrei rab melahatis, and would go after the majority. And no one was allowed to dispute that halacha. No one in Israel. And if anyone did, the penalty was very severe. It was known as Ezokei Mamre. The Gemara brings famous cases with Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua, Rav Lezer HaGodol. Rav Lezer HaGodol wanted to dispute the opinion of the majority, and he brought raya's from heaven. Bas Kol Yechiach brought raya's, proof from heaven. And the Sanhedrin answered him with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's consent. Leba Shomayimi. The Torah is not in heaven. The Torah was already given on Har Sinai, and it states la'achrei rabim lahatos, that the majority of opinion abides, and there must be only one halacha in all of Israel. And the Rambam elaborates all of the machlekes that we find in Israel. One city does one way, and another way. That's only because we lost our Beis HaMikdash and the Sanhedrin. So this was the core of the unity of Klal Yisrael. And from there went unity to the whole world. Ki mitzion teitze Torah, that from Zion should go Torah. Where in Zion? Maradashins from the Sanhedrin, that was in Zion, that had its place in Yerushalayim, in the complex of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the Rambam also writes in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he said, what was the purpose why we were commanded in the Mitzvah's essay, the Osu LiMikdosh, that you shall build the Beis HaMikdosh? He writes for two reasons. Lahakriv korbonis l'Hashem, liyos bayis muchan lahakriv korbonis l'Hashem, that there should be a bayis, there should be a structure that we will be able to bring sacrifices to Hashem, and a place where Yisrael will be chagigin shom, gimel pomi bashona, where all of Yisrael will come to three times a year on the Moadim. These are the two main purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. And the korbones was to unite Yisrael to Hashem. because through the korban, korban means from the word korev, they became close to Hashem. And this, that all of Israel came to only to Yerushalayim, see, to the other city, not to Haifa, not to Tel Aviv, not to Sfas, not to Paris, but only Yerushalayim, and only to the Beis Hamikdash, all of Klal Yisrael, 3 times a year. This was to unite Klal Yisrael, Yisrael, in one place. Therefore, the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, the first parak, writes, the Maral explains, that who were in charge of the Beis Hamikdash? Shevet Levi. And who were the foremost of Shevet Levi? The Kohanim. And who was the greatest Kohen? Aaron HaKohen. And what was his midah? What was his quality? The Mishnah states, Hillel Emer, having me Talmidov, shall Aaron HaKohen, that you shall make yourself a disciple of Aaron HaKohen. Follow his qualities. Ohev Shalom, Veredev Shalom. His qualities were to love peace and to pursue peace. Ohev Sabriya Yisu Makaven LaTorah. His qualities were to love the people and to bring them close to Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, his qualities was to unite. Love peace and pursue peace. Love the people and bring them together. Because he was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash's purpose was to unite Klal Yisrael into one amongst themselves, into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why it states in the Mishnah, in the last perek, Perek Basra of Masechet Shvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis on the Beis, that there were times, many times, when we were permitted to be makriv korbones, to bring sacrifices ala bomes, on private altars. And the Mishnah tells us when we were allowed to. This was before the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of Avram, Yitzchok, even before, or the Marisha, and so forth. And the Mishnah says, Bo'ul Yerushalayim Nesru HaBomesh. Once the Mishkan, the sanctuary, which was the forerunner of the Beis HaMikdash, once that was brought to Yerushalayim, from that day and placed on the Har HaShem, the Har Abai is the place of the Beis HaMikdash, from that day forever Nesru HaBomesh. The private altars were forbidden. The reason? Again, because the Beis HaMikdash served as the only centrality for Klal Yisrael, to unite Yisrael into one. Till we had it, Kol Echod Ve'Echod Holeich Ubeine Bomela Atzmai. Everyone could go and sacrifice on his own altar. But once the Mikdash found its place in the Mokem HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then the centrality of Klal Yisrael was established there forever, and Nesru HaBomeis, and the Bomeis became prohibited. We brought this past Shabbos in the Shir from the Maral, Parshas Mateis, we learned about Nedorim, vows. And one of the types of Nedorim is Nidrei Isur, where a person can take a vow to prohibit something upon himself which is permissible. For example, a person could take a vow that all wine will become forbidden to me. And nozer comes from chilindo neder, is a neder, is a vow. Or a person can say that I will not eat this type of meat and take a vow. Or he'll say I will not eat these types of fruit. These are called Nidrei Isur. will you prohibit upon yourself what is in actual fact committed to you. The Gemara brings in Masechet Nedarim, Perek Dalet Nedarim, Daf Chav Beis Omer Aleph, Tanya Reb Noson Eimer, Reb Noson said, HaNeder, someone who makes such Nedarim, Ki Ilu Bona Boma, it's as if he has built a private altar. Mamakaimai, and if he fulfills these Nedarim, Kilu Hikri Valaha Korban, it's as if he brings a sacrifice on this Boma. What should he do? He made the Neder, he has to fulfill it now. He should go to a Chochem and be Shael, be Matir, annul it, get it annulled. And the commentaries, the Ran and the others, try to search for a reason why. Why, if you make a Neder, such a Neder, is it like you build a Boma, a private altar, and if you fulfill it, it's as if you're bringing a sacrifice on it? And the Maral explains, because the Boma, the private Bomas, was the illustration of the fragmentation of Klal Yisrael. When were we allowed the Bomas? When we had no centrality, when we had no unity. It's before the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or wherever the Mishkan was not in a permanent resting place. Once we had this unity, the Nesra Bomas, Bol Yushalayim, Nesra Bomas, then the Bomas, the private altars, became forbidden. Someone who makes a Neder and he prohibits upon himself that which the Torah is mutar, that's what the Torah permitted, he has separated himself from the cloud, from the nation. He is fragmentating himself from the nation, because the nation were given 613 mitzvahs and he's adding more to the Torah. And the Ran himself brings, the Ran says, the Chazal said, the Chazal say, the Torah says to the Nozir, Leidai Masha Osro Alecha Torah, isn't it enough what the Torah forbade to you, and you have to forbade upon yourself even more things? So therefore, if someone is going to forbade upon himself that which is permissible, his Torah is no longer the same as the Torah of Israel. Because the Torah of Israel says other things are forbidden, but this is permissible. His Torah is saying that this is also forbidden. So he has been perish min haklal. He has fragmented himself from the tzibur. And this is kilu bona boma. It's as if he has built a private altar. V'makayma, and when he fulfills it, kilu hikri v'alecha, that's the ultimate in the fragmentation. It's as if he was sacrificed on it. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash also not only was the ultimate shleimus, perfection of the world at the highest level, and not only it brought a brocha shleima, total blessing to the world, but also was the nekudo emtsoi, the central point of the unity of Klal Yisrael to themselves and to Hashem. The reason for all of this is because the Kiddush of Yerushalayim and of the Beis HaMikdash is built and because of the Shechina. This is the Rambam writes. He says, Kedushas Yerushalayim la b'nei kibush. Kedush of Yerushalayim is not because we conquered it. It's because of the Shechina. The Shechina dwells there. It states, Hashem Shechin b'tzion. Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells in Zion. And from therefore, where you have such a perfect concentration of the Shechina, from there comes perfection and totality. Totality of brocha and oneness. And from there it goes out to the whole world. However, from the time of the Churban, when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, and there was Golos HaShchina, the Shechina went into exile from the Beis HaMikdash and from Yerushalayim, so this all became greatly reduced. And therefore, we lost these levels, we lost the perfection of the blessing of the world, and we lost the unity in Klal Yisrael and in the entire world. The reason why we lost all of this, the Chazal tell us in many, many places, Bibnei Abba Neshenu, because of our Averis. Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara in Perek HaNizokin and Gittin. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gil Arai Shvichas Domim Averis Ora. Of the three Chamures, three most severe Averis were found amongst Israel. Idolatry, Shvichas Domim, murder, and adultery and incest. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam. Slander and of needless hatred in Klal Yisrael. And we are still in the Golus, the exile of the second Beis HaMikdash. The ultimate source of the all of our problems, the Gemara tells us in the first parak in Masechta Erechin, was because of the Chetah Maraglim. When Moshe sent out the Maraglim, the spies, to spy out the land, and they came back and they spoke Lashon Hara, they spoke slander against Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara explains that because of this sin, Le Goza, Le Nachtam Gzar Dino, Ala Veseinu, Shebemidbor, Ele Mishum Lashon Hara. That because of the sin of Lashon Hara, and the Gemara explains it wasn't because of Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, because it was Lashon Hara, because it was slander. The Gzar Din, the final decree, was sealed, that generation will never enter into Eretz Yisrael. And when they came back, it states in Parsha Shlach, Perek Yudalet, Posuk Aleph, Batisa Kola Edo. They came back with a report that we will never be able to conquer the land. There's gigantic nations there, ferocious nations there, and so forth and so on. Let us, we will be devoured if we go there. And if we stay in the desert, we'll die here. Let us rebel against Moshe and make a new leader and go back to Egypt. It states, Vatisa kola edo, vayitnu es kolam, vayivko ha'om balaylahu. The entire congregation lifted up their voices and they wept on that night. And that night, when they returned, they had left on Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, and they traveled for 40 days. And that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. And in the beginning of Eicha, Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, it states, Boche Sifke Balailo. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Boche Sifke? Twice, you shall weep twice at night. Shtei Bechiyas, Al Shtei Churbonis. There were two weepings, one for the first Beis HaMikdash and one for the second. Why does it say balailo? Bochesifke balailo? Rashi says, one explanation, Shamigdosh Nisrav Balailo, Dvamamar Le Serev Itzisu Asa'ish. The Beis Hamikdosh, the Churban started on the ninth day, but it was in the tenth day, at night, that it started to burn. It burnt into the night. Dovar Acher, another Pirush, another explanation. Balaila, Laila shall bechias meragli betishubov gormo lehem. It's referring bochesifke balaila. There were the two weepings at night. This refers to the night that the meraglim, the scouts, came back, and vatisha, so edo, that the congregation lifted, kola edo lifted their voices, vayitnu as kolam, vayivko balailahu, and they wept that night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem bechisem bechiyah shel chinam. You are weeping for no reason, because there's nothing to fear. I've already promised you that you will conquer the land. But because you are weeping for no reason and you have lost your trust in me, kevei ani aleichem, I will establish that balailo zeh yeh bechiyah ledoros. This night will be a night of weeping for generations. And therefore the greatest tragedies that happened was the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash were destroyed. We went into Golus, first by the Babylonians, Bovel, and then by the Edom, by Rome. We've mentioned many times, but it's worthy to mention again, This was the Shadish, this was the source of all of the Tzoras, of the Chorbonis, and everything that was Nimshach, everything that came from there throughout our entire Golus, our entire exile. Like the Chazal say. And the Maral explains why. He says, because had we gone into Eretz Yisrael right after we left Egypt, like the divine plan was, we left Egypt on Pesach, and in a very short span of time, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, in other words, it was half of Nisan, then Iyar, then on Rosh Chodesh Sivan we came to Har Sinai, and on the sixth day of Sivan we received the Torah. And we stayed there for almost a year for the Simchas Torah. Then we were to go into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was only a 3-day journey from Midbar Sinai, the desert of Sinai. And even a 3-day journey HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make it, that we would come there in 1 day. But there was one problem, and then another problem, and then another problem created by the nation, until finally, when the time came to go into it, which was still shortly after the end of the first year, the people insisted that they send in scouts. And because of what took place then, it was Nechtam Gzardin, the decree was sealed that this generation will not go into Eretz Yisrael, but they will die in the Midbar. Had this not happened, there would have been no interruption, but right from going out of Egypt, we would have gone to Har Sinai. And right after the receiving of the Torah and the celebration of the Simchas Torah, we would have taken the 3-day journey, which would have taken 1 day, and we would have been in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe also would have led the people. Then the Maral writes that just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim was irreversible, the Exodus was irreversible, the Hiknisonu, the Eretz Yisrael, the going into Eretz Yisrael also would have been irreversible. and we would have never lost the land, and we would have never lost Yerushalayim or the Beis Hamikdash. But because there was this hefsik, this laila, this night, and now this caused the whole generation to die. Moshe, in Parshas Devarim, points the finger at the people, and he said, "You insisted on sending scouts, and this took place, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that the entire nation should die here." And he says, "And also because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry at me and didn't allow me to go in." Why? What does he have to do with the Meraglim? Moshe's death, Moshe's lack of permission to go into Eretz Yisrael had nothing to do with the scouts. That had to do with when the striking the rock. No, what Moshe meant is when did that happen, the striking of the rock? That happened after Miriam died. And the well of Miriam disappeared, and now the people wanted water. That was in the 40th year. Had they gone right into Eretz Yisrael, there would have never been a 40th year. And Moshe would have led them. She says, "Gambi iksaftem Hashem." Because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry at me also, and I lost my schus to go in. So it all came from this lailo. Had not from this Lilo, then just like Moshe took the people out of Mitzrayim, he would have taken the people into Eretz Yisrael. It would have been the same generation. Just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim is irreversible, the Knesset Oris, the going into Eretz Yisrael, also would have been irreversible. Then we would have never had Korbanos, and we would have never had Golias. We would have never had exiles. If we would have never had exiles, we wouldn't have been scattered amongst the Goyim with all of the pogroms and wars and holocausts and everything else. So therefore, it states, Boch kai sifke balailo, it was this night that caused us the shtei bechiyos, the two weepings, for the first Beis HaMikdash and the second, and from here caused all of our tzoros of the golos. This is a brief overview of the Beis HaMikdash when we had it and when it was taken from us. We can ask a question. Why is it that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew himself from us, he took his Shechina out of the Beis HaMikdash and out of Yerushalayim, and out of our midst, his full Shechina, part of his Shechina still went with us, but the full Shechina he took away. Why is it that all, or so many of the Goyim, so many of the nations, use this opportunity to rise up to destroy us? First came Babel. They destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and took us into the Golos Babel. Then from there rose up Modai Uparas, Persian Empire, Assyrian Empire, and they came and brought us into another exile. And then rose up Yavan, the Greek Empire, and they again invaded Eretz Yisrael and tried to destroy our Beis HaMikdash. And then came Edom, the seed of Esav, Roman Empire. And they destroyed our Beis HaMikdash and brought us into Golos. And so many of the nations would take advantage of this opportunity to rise up against us. Amalek, the grandson of Esav, and countless nations. The answer to this is we have in Parshas Matos what we just learned last week. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Actually, what we're asking here, we there have been many, many forms of hatred against Klal Yisrael. Now, we've lived through periods of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is basically the hatred against Klal Yisrael from the European nations. And then we see we're living through also anti-Zionism. That's hatred of Israel, not because of Eretz Israel, from Eastern nations. But there's many, many forms. But we're asking, why is it? In Parshas Matis, which we read yesterday, Shabbos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, it states, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael meis ha-bijodim. Go and revenge, take revenge and avenge the B'nai Yisrael from the Midyanim. We had learned that when Klal Yisrael was finally entering into the land, and they were coming close, and they were going through Eivar HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, there various nations were trying to stop them, and Klal Yisrael would devour them. And Moab, whose land was there, became very afraid. And he sent people to Midian to find out how can we stop them. And there came Bilam. And first Bilam said, he hired Bilam to curse the nation. And that didn't work. So then Bilam said, let's bring them down spiritually. We will send in our daughters. And our daughters will come in with Averis Zorah. They'll come in with statues of their gods. And they'll seduce them to do Avera and to serve Averis Zorah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them because he'll become angry. And because of this, there were many, many thousands of Israels, of people of Israel were lost. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nekom nikmas b'nei Yisrael meis ha-midyonim. Take a revenge against the Midyonim. So it states avenge on behalf of Yisrael. In the next posuk, it states, Vayidaber Moshe l'om lemor. Moshe said to the nation, saying, Heicholzu mi'itchem anoshim latzova. Arm yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Mobilize yourselves, men for the war, for the army. V'yu al Midyon. And they will go up against Midyon. L'seis nikmas Hashem b'Midyon. To avenge Hashem against Midyon. And the sages ask, in the first pasuk it says that we're avenging Israel. The second pasuk it says, we're avenging Hashem. Nakeim nikmas b'nei Yisrael, and now it says nikmas Hashem. Who are we avenging here? So Rashi brings ha'emet keneged Yisrael, ki la'emet keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're avenging Yisrael because they stood up directly against Yisrael. They tried to curse Yisrael. They tried to destroy Yisrael. So we're avenging Yisrael. But someone who tries to stand up against Israel, someone who tries to destroy Israel, is standing up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it is not Israel's war, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's war. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take revenge what they did to Israel. And Moshe says, revenge what they did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now why is that? Why is it if someone stands up against Israel, they are standing up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer to that is, and here lies the psyche of the nations of the world that persecute Israel, many, many of the nations of the world, they do not want the mitzvahs of Hashem. They do not want to serve Him. And this we see right throughout history. At the beginning of the creation, almost immediately, the people went off and they started to serve the stars and the moons and the planets. Rambam writes that after a few generations, just a few generations, they had forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that it wasn't long before Hishchis called Bosa as Darkri, where they started to deviate from the norms of society, from the norms which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, not to Israel, but to the world, the Zayin mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs, and the six mitzvahs that were given to the world at that time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring the Mabul, the flood. The Rambam writes that in the time of Abraham, which was still the early days of the world, he says there was almost nobody in the world that remembered there was a God in the world, a master of the universe. We see in the early days of the world, right after the flood, they said, let us go build Ir Migdol. We will build a city, we will build a tower to heaven, and we will make war against heaven. Consistently, the leaders of the nations led the nations astray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe came to Pare, one of the greatest leaders of the day, what did he say? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Eloth. Who is this God that I have to listen to Him? And this was the history in every generation. And the reason for that is because to recognize Hashem, that's to bind yourself to Him through mitzvahs. Everyone was given mitzvahs. And heim einam reitzim b'mitzvahs. They don't want mitzvahs. Heim einam reitzim b'avoda. They do not want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heim reitzim b'hefkerus. They want to be free. We will build a migdal and we will go to heaven to free ourselves. They do not want limitations, they do not want constraints. And this was from the leaders of the people, and they led the nations astray all of the time. Bechein b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation. Now, how do they destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They cannot destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu because His presence is here in this world. But who made His presence in this world? Abraham exclaimed, he said that before I came, God was Elokei HaShamayim, the God of heaven. After myself, after I have been here, He is Elokei Shamayim Va'oretz, the God of the heaven and the earth. Abraham said on himself, before my time, Hashem was only in the heavens, He wasn't here on the earth. The people had driven Him off the earth. They had forgotten Him. Today, I have brought Him back into the earth. I have taught people. I have inspired people. I have led the people to serve him. What does this mean? This means that when a great leader wants to free himself from the constraints of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to kill the Jew. He has to destroy Avraham. Because Avraham is the one who brings God into this world. And as long as God is in this world, then he can't free himself from God. He has to drive him out of the world, where as if there is no God, and then he can do what he wants. And who brings him into this world? It's Avraham, Bezarai, and his seed. And as long as there's a Jew in the world, then this is a living testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, is in the world. And therefore, he has to destroy the Jew to drive HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the world. And therefore, Kol Ha'emet Keneged Yisrael, those who stand up against Yisrael, they're not standing up against Yisrael. Kol Ha'emet Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're standing up against Hashem. The Midyanim, they weren't afraid of Yisrael. They were afraid of God. But they knew they can't destroy God. He'll destroy Yisrael and drive him out of this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nikom Nikmas Yisrael, take revenge for what they did to Yisrael. And Moshe told the people, take revenge for what they did to Hashem. Nikom Nikmas Hashem. Because those who stand up against Yisrael stand up against Hashem. This is their motive. And the leaders of the world are aware of this. And if they're not consciously aware of it, they're subconsciously aware of it. Like the Gemara says many times, Ihu la yoda, maz la yoda. It's interesting to note that during the Second World War, a great dispute broke out between Hitler, Yamach Shemai, and his henchmen, and his high command. And it became so great, the dispute, that there were countless attempts to assassinate Hitler by his high command. And why was this? Because they said the man has gone crazy. He's not interested anymore in fighting the war. He's only interested in killing Jews. He is sacrificing time after time again. He is sacrificing military achievements. He is sacrificing the war effort in order and deviating and occupying himself with killing Jews. And his high command said, "What are we interested in killing Jews or fighting a war here?" They didn't realize, though. Hitler was a very clever man. He was more clever than them. So he knew what he was doing. He wanted to become, like he exclaimed, he will become the Tsar of the world, the king of the world. He will conquer the world. And to conquer the world, he's got to get rid of God. And the only way he can get rid of God in this world is get rid of the Jew. As long as there's a Jew left, then God will be here. And he learned from his Eda, from Haman. Saul said the same thing. Haman, lo yichreve lo yishtachave. Haman made a god out of himself. Haman had visions of being the god of the world. And that's why Mordechai wouldn't bow to him. Lo yichra v'lo yishtacha v'esho osa satzma l'avei d'zora.
So the question is asked, so why didn't he kill Mordechai? Comes with an idea, he'll kill every Jew in the world. What is he, Meshuggah? Same thing. Yeah. His high command must have thought the man has gone crazy. He's got an axe to grind with Mordechai, and all of a sudden he wants to kill every Jew in the world. No, he didn't go crazy. He knew that he could not achieve. He was the second command to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was Molach Misefa Elamat Sefa. He was the king of the 127 Medinas, the entire world. He was one of two or three kings, they say, that ruled the entire world. And Haman was becoming the second most powerful, and he had visions. But he says, I cannot rule this world as long as the Jews here. And therefore, he devised a plan, Lareg, La'abed, Eskola Yehudim, every last Jew, Minar, V'adzoke, Taf, V'noshim, child and women, old and young, then he could achieve. Was he against the Jew? Kol Ha'emed Keneged Yisrael, Ki'ila Emed Keneged Hashem. And this is what Hitler learned. And this is what Doniel saw in his dream, where he saw a great, ferocious animal come out of the sea, and it was Bovel. And then he saw another one come out, and it was Poras Umodai, and then another one, it was Yovan, the Greek Empire. And then he saw on the next night another one that was equal to the first three, and that was Edom. And each one was rising up to take the Malucha, to take the empire of the world away from Hashem. But how could they do this? Only by destroying his nation, because every time there's a Jew in the world, he testifies to the 613 mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One final point is, in Eicha we say, this is Perek Aleph Pasuk Chof Beis, Tovei Kol Ra'osem Lefanecho Ve'ole Lomai. Let all of their evil, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let all of their evil come before you and inflict them Kasher Olal Toli Al Kol Pishoi, and inflict them as you have inflicted me for all of my transgressions. Ki Rabbe San Chosai V'libi Davoi, for my groans are many and my heart is sick. We pray to Hashem, Tovei Kol Ra'osem Lefonecho, let all of their evil come before you. Rashi says, Yiskor V'yifiktu Avanaisom Lefonecho V'ole Lomai, and inflict them. In other words, we say that the entire Mapola that they gave us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must inflict them with. Because Rabbi San Chaisai V'libi Davoi, because my groans are so great and my heart is so sick. We ask for our tanchumin, for our nechoma, our comfort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take revenge against them. And this we find from what we just quoted. Nikeim Nigmas B'nei Yisrael Meisam Ijonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Klal Yisrael to go and take revenge against the Midjanim for what they did to you. It's popular thought in our times, maybe in times of past also, that revenge is a bad trait. It's true, the Torah says, lesita lesikon, you're not allowed to take revenge. But it's not referring to this type of revenge. And it's very popular thought that, no, not right to take revenge. Someone does something wrong, you turn the other cheek. You close your eyes. It's a very great mitzvah, limchol v'lisleach v'lishkayach, to forget about it, to forgive, and so forth and so on. And unfortunately, many of the nations of the world, in the Western world, even bring illustrations to this from Hashem himself, that he's all forgiving. This is sheker, this is a lie. Just look at the parsha we just quoted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that commanded Nekeim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Meis HaMidyon. Go and take revenge against the Midyonim for what they did to you. And in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin, and further it states, Vayitzbu al Midyon Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. The armies attacked Midyon, not because Moshe wanted to, but because Hashem commanded him. Vayahargu kol zohar, and they killed every male in the whole nation of Midyan. Vismalchei Midyan horgu al chalaleihem, and then every king of Midyan they killed. Veis Bilam ben Boor horgu bechorev, and then they got a hold of Bilam, and they killed him with a sword. Vayishbu ben Yisrael es neshei Midyan vestapom, and then they went and they gathered up and they captured all of the women of Midyan and all of the children. There's called Behemdom, there's called Mignehem, there's called Chelam Bozozu. And they went and captured all of the animals, the herds, and everything. There's called Orehem, Bemeshvesam, there's called Tiresum, and all of their cities. Sorfu Be'esh. They burnt. And they brought all of this back. And the fact is, after all of this, Moshe was angry. Why they let the women live? And the Torah very clearly shows this was not Moshe's plan. It says, Kasher Tziva Hashem, like Hashem commanded. Kel Nekomais HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of revenge. And don't be deviated by what many people will tell you in the name of God. And the Torah is full of it. And the reason for it is because the greatest distortion of justice is where people can commit heinous crimes and then we close our eyes to it. And this we see all of the time. The Nuremberg trials was a joke. It was a sick joke, the Nuremberg trials. Today they talk about war trials because you have ethnic cleansing and you have wars that kill off by the hundreds of thousands or the millions and the millions. And the whole business, can you bring the man to trial? Can you not bring the man to trial? You know, only a small fraction of Israel was harmed here. Only a very small fraction of Israel in the war of Midian. This is just one illustration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of justice, of yosher, of what's upright. And when people commit heinous crimes, he does not rest until justice is done. And perhaps the reason why the nations of the world like to show, they portray this, they camouflage this in a smokescreen of self-righteousness, but like to speak of slicha, mechila, forgiveness, is because they know themselves that they have to be enemies of justice. Because if justice is done, when the day of reckoning comes, they're in for a lot of hot water. And if they don't know this consciously, they know it subconsciously. And therefore they have to take this stand. But you think that all the bloodshed that they caused will go by unpunished. And therefore, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tovei kol ra'osem lefanecho ve'ele lomo lomo kasher lalto li al kol pishoai ki rabeis anchoisai ve'libidovai. All of the bloodshed that they did to us in visit upon them, and that will bring comfort to our aching hearts. This will be our great comfort, that when the Melech HaMashiach comes, b'mehero v'yameinu, and we will see the rebuilding of Tzion and the Beis HaMikdash and the return of the Shechina and the Nekomas, the Nikmas Yisrael and Nikmas Hashem, to avenge that what was done to Hashem and Yisrael. And then we will see the perfection of the world return, of the 15 milas, the Asura Kiddushas. We will see the Broch and its fullness return to the world. We will see the unity of Israel return to the to Israel, and from there to the entire world. In Zechariah it states, Zechariah Beis, Posuk, Yudalit, Roni v'simchi basion, the daughter of Tzion, of Zion, be happy and full of joy. Ki hine nivo v'shochanti b'seichech nu'um Hashem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I am still to come and dwell in you once again. And all of the nations of the world will come to Tzion. But Israel will be my special nation. And I will dwell amongst you. V'yodate ki Hashem tzevokei shulachani Eloich. The Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring Yehuda back to the Admas HaKodesh, to Eretz Yisrael, and again he will choose Yerushalayim to be a city. And all of the nations of the world will be silent. No longer will they rise up or be able to rise up against Israel. Ki ne'or mima'ein kotshoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be afraid from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling in his home. We hope and pray that we will all see that day come, b'mehero v'yameinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.